three times the amount of money as anybody down in Utah. So you put it in the pipeline, ship it to California.
Okay, let's, wow. Let's go ahead and get started. The Centerville City Council meeting is now in session. We want to thank each of you for tonight. We have a little bit of a unique situation. We've got a couple of council members that are out of town and unavailable, and another councilman, Ivy, came down ill and decided generously not to share her illness with us. So she is on the phone, and Councilman Ivy, can you confirm that you can hear us?
I can hear you.
And it sounds like we can hear her, which meets the requirements in state law that we can hold an electronic meeting. So we'll go ahead and get started. So for the record, we've got three of our council members here. Councilman Abritt and Wright are absent. I've asked Peter, one of our scouts, if he will come and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. So let's follow his direction on the Pledge of Allegiance, after which Councilman Tammy Fillmore will offer a prayer or a thought.
Okay, please rise. Please say the pledge with me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our most gracious Father in heaven, we're thankful for the opportunity that we have to meet tonight and do the business of our beautiful city of Centerville. We are especially mindful at this time of year and this great opportunity that we've had in the month of July to celebrate our heritage, both the heritage of our nation and the heritage of our state. And we're so very grateful for both and the freedoms that history has provided us to enjoy today. We're so thankful for all the sacrifice that has come in the past to provide us with that. We are also thankful for present day sacrifice and the job of our first responders and what they do, and we ask thee to please protect them and protect all of us in our daily life here. And we are thankful for this beautiful community and for the health and prosperity that we enjoy. Amen.
Thank you, Tammy. Speaking of our celebration, we've got a good number of scouts here tonight. How many of you scouts attended the 4th of July celebration? Anybody there? Two? That's it? Three, four? A few more?
You better say the parade.
The parade. Yeah.
The parade counts.
Did you come to the parade? The parade counts.
And the fireworks.
And did you come the night before? We had fireworks and the giant flag on the mountain. Anybody see that flag?
Yeah.
And participate in that? That was pretty inspiring, I thought. And maybe we'll look for more scout volunteers next year to hike up there and hold it on the mountain again sometime.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
It was
great.
A neat thing. On our agenda, the first thing is an open session. This is an opportunity for anyone in the community to come and speak to the council on any subject of municipal concern. And so we would go ahead and open the open session, invite anyone who would like to speak to come to this microphone and tell us your name and your city of residence and share whatever thought you would like to with us. Is there anybody who would like to speak? You can tell us your favorite joke or what merit badge you're working on.
I think we can guess that. That's why we're here.
All right, seeing no one, I'll close the open session. And the first item on our business agenda is minutes review. It's been suggested that since we don't have everyone here, that we table the minutes and until others are here if they'd like to comment on them.
And I thought, Mayor, especially considering the subject matter of those two meetings, that you might want to have everybody have their chance to comment on those minutes.
Mayor, I move from the July 7th work session council meeting and the July 8th joint city council and planning commission meeting.
Second.
That's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you, Stephanie. That's unanimous. The next item on our agenda is important, and one of the reasons we had to meet tonight. We have a primary election coming up, and one of the items we have to do is approve the poll workers for that municipal primary election. So there are two items on the summary action calendar. One is to approve a list of poll workers, and the second is to accept a public utility easement from Scott and Susan Trump related to a single lot at 540 South, 400 West. Anyone like to take these individually or any concerns? If not, I look for a motion to approve those two items on the summary action calendar.
Mayor, I move that we approve the list of poll workers for the 2015 municipal primary election, as well as accept the public utility easement for Scott and Susan Trump residential parcel development located at 540 South, 400 West.
Second.
That's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 That passes unanimously. Thank you. The next item on our agenda is to award a bid for drainage projects. Steve, you or Randy going to speak to that, give us a staff report?
Yes, we will do that. I've asked Randy to prepare a map, which I think is attached to the Novus now, isn't it, Jake, that we could bring up to show the location of these four projects. And just as a way of introduction, three of these four projects are on our, on the capital improvement plan that you saw earlier and based drainage rate increases on. One of them was not, but we still feel like we need to do it. It's a high priority matter, and we have reviewed the plan and made some, agreed that we will have to do some shifting among those projects to fund that other project. One of the projects will be funded by impact fees, the other three by drainage utility fees. Randy, do you want to explain to
me? Yeah, the one at Lund Lane at the bottom on the left side, that's the one that's being funded with impact fees road, in which we put in earlier this year. And so when we connect this piece, it'll be totally connected on Lund Lane, and Lone Pine will flow all the way underneath the Legacy Highway to the out into the lake. So that'll work good. The next one over, that one, we're replacing a storm drain that runs through people's backyards. They have a bunch of trees planted there, and the trees keep plugging the pipe. So we're going to cut it off, shift it over, and our maintenance of it, yes. It'll still be there.
Go ahead, Steve. Well, the one on the border of the park, are you talking about the same?
No, we're not. We're talking one still. No,
there's one in the along the north side of the park, and there's another one that comes out of that subdivision on the north side, and that's the one we're talking about, isn't it?
We're talking about the second one over on the left. That's the one that's going to be rerouted.
Okay.
And that's that one,
the greenfield area?
That's over in the greenfield area, correct. But there'll still be a pipe that runs in their backyards, but we're not going to maintain it. It may drain a little bit of their yards if they have any subsurface water, but we're going to turn it over to them for maintenance. Then the third one over on the bottom, that is the one that goes down through the park. We had some flooding in some basements. That one is so plugged that the manhole, we can't even dig down. The roots have grown so tight into the manhole, even dig it out. And it started plugging back into the homes. And so they're going to have to dig the pipe up and totally replace it. So
That's the one I was referring to, and that because there's two sub drains in that vicinity. One is along the north side of the community park, And the other is the one we're talking about, which is coming out of that subdivision.
Correct. And it's going to be put into a different pipe now, a different pipe that we changed.
This shows going right down the north side of the community park.
It'll be going down the north side of the community park.
So how many years ago was that one put in?
That was probably put in 40 years ago, 30, 40 years ago. Okay. That's one of the very, very first ones. Before Willow Farms area was built, that was the very first one. And then all those trees grew up, and all those trees have just thrived on it. And the entire system from east to west has totally been plugged. We put in a new one in the park, but we haven't taken and tied over to it so that it's in a sealed tree roots. Get into it, plug it off, and then you can't use it anymore.
So the new process would be
sealed. It'll be sealed. Yes, it'll be a sealed pipe that gaskets,
all right,
and then it shouldn't be able to be intruded with the roots.
Okay. So this appears that you're rerouting over into the park and then attaching onto the sealed pipe there?
Correct. And this, we're only moving it, we're coming through the subdivision and going probably another 40 feet south to an existing system we put in probably 6 years ago that goes east and west through the park.
And do you expect that has a pretty high water table anyway in there. Will that still drain properly that area?
Yeah, we think so, because we have plenty of them in the street in the subdivision. It's a short length between the homes that we'll be replacing. And the homes that are next to it don't have basements anyway.
Well, they don't.
They don't. It's upstream.
On the far west side.
Yeah. It's upstream from there to start getting basements, probably 300-400 feet east of where we're connecting on is where the basements start to happen. We've not allowed basements to be installed there.
And then the first one that you were describing that was going to be put in the street, was that street due for work anyway, or is this because of
it's
an emergency
not.
Situation?
It's more of an emergency. And it's not very long. It's only about a couple hundred feet, so it's not like a big lengthy piece. It's fairly short. And then the fourth one's on 4th East and Porter Lane. Now, this one we've made a change. Wednesday, 2 weeks ago, when we had the rainstorm, we had a bunch of flooding. We were going to change the route, go over on 4th East, down 9th South, along 3rd East. We had a bunch of flooding on 3rd East. Our concern was we don't want to add any more to that until we replace the pipe system down through the school. The piping system through the school is old and corrugated and needs to be replaced. We don't want to expend the money right now. So it's going to cost us a little bit more money to go straight west on Porter Lane and connect it back into the creek where it originally was connected. So it's going to follow a better path of the origination. Kevin did do a study to see if it would work going south. It will work, but the pipe has to be replaced. So we've determined not to do it so that we don't risk flooding people by adding more water. So it'll cost us a little bit more money.
So you'll have to cross Porter Lane, or will it just stay on
there? Yeah, we'll have to cross 4th East. The catch basins are on the east side of 4th East. They have dipstone outlets, and those are the ones that have actually rusted out. And so they're caving in. We've had it cave in twice, and so we'll be replacing them and going down to 3rd East and connecting. It adds probably 100 more feet or something. Wouldn't it end up be a little over $10,000?
Well, no, it was actually more like
$17,000. Okay.
That it added to the cost to so realign it.
Well, if we didn't do that, we'd have to go over and do some work temporarily, and even we may have to go through and put a whole system in, and we didn't want to do that immediately. So we felt like this was a much more reasonable, putting it back in the same stream rather than that it's originally been going into rather than switch. So that was the feeling we had. Kevin and I determined that was in our best interest.
Great. So when these scouts hear their parents complain about an increase in their city bill, they can tell them it's
which they'll see next week
to stop the flooding.
Let me correct. And Randy, when you're through, I'll speak to the finances.
Well, yeah, that's basically the four projects we're doing. This is a storm drains project, so that's all I have. Any questions?
I'll speak to the funding of this then. The rate increases that you approved in March, which will show up on their utility bills for the first time next week, obviously haven't generated any revenue yet. But the Drainage Utility Fund has approximately $525,000 fund balance that we will use for this. A part of that will be used for these projects. The reason that the fund balance was that big is because we have been reserving as part of that fund balance for debt service that has been increasing each year. And Blaine's been setting aside some of that reserve for future debt service as it grows until that bond is retired. Now that we've gone with these new rates, the assumption is that the debt service has been built into the rate analysis. The debt service will be paid by the fees that will be paid in the future. So this fund balance becomes available to help us now with the first year or two of projects. The one project, as I mentioned, is an impact fee. That's the one completing the gap at Lund Lane. The other three come out of that drainage utility fund.
So the action that the council needs to take is to, we bid this out, and they would award the bid to CAP Construction in the amount of $192,068 for bid schedule A, B, and C, and Diffusion Pipeline for $40,185 for bid schedule D.
That's for labor.
And then the materials, award the bid for materials from Old Castle in the amount of $6,584.95, for concrete, and from Western Waterworks for $2,139.27 for PVC.
Right.
Anyone? Mayor, I move that we award those bids and accept the bid awards for the materials.
I'll second that. I have a question. As a city, do we pay tax on purchases like that?
We do.
Okay, we're not tax exempt.
Right. We are for some things, but for these projects, we are not.
Okay.
Interesting. Any further discussions, Stephanie? Any concerns? You can't see the graphics, but I think you've had this information in your packet.
I have the map on my packet. Yep, I was able to see it.
Right.
I don't have any concerns.
Okay. So the motion is that we award these bids for both labor and for materials. Let's do a roll call vote. John?
Aye.
Aye.
And Stephanie?
Aye.
Thank you. That passes.
Mayor, if I could just respond further to Councilman Higginson.
Please.
Yeah, it was some years ago, I don't know how long ago, that the law changed to require that for construction projects that the tax had to be included paid, but for other kinds of things, I couldn't answer the status about other things. I do know that for hotel, for travel expenses where they tax onto the hotel, we have to pay it initially, and then we can seek a reimbursement for those taxes every year as a city.
Okay.
Great. Next thing on our agenda is to discuss the services relating to the Tour of Utah, which is a professional bike race that's coming to Davis County on August 5th. And the Davis County commissioners have been promoting this event. I don't know if we've got the bike, if we have the route, Jake, to put up there. These scouts would probably like to see that.
Well, through Centerville, it's just one straight shot.
They start out at Antelope Island and then bike up to Ogden Valley around Pine View Reservoir, over up Trapper's Loop, and down Ogden Canyon, and then along Highway 89 to through Centerville to Bountiful, and then they do two loops around the Bountiful Temple. So if you're feeling really energetic, you could try that in one day.
109 miles.
Let alone about 7 or 8 hours that they do it in.
Yeah, they race pretty fast.
They actually figured they'll start at 10 and they'll finish about 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
5 hours.
And they're average traveling about 20 miles an hour to
25
miles an
hour. 25 to
30. That's pretty fast.
Yeah.
So keep pedaling your bikes if you want to become a professional biker. But this is going to cost us a little bit in manpower and effort to prepare and support the county. The mayors in Davis County agreed to this as part of Davis County's effort to support tourism, and I feel it's in our best interest to support this. We need the county's support for things like the Performing Arts Center and other things that we do. Bountiful, they're finishing the race in Bountiful on Main Street, so it's a big deal to Bountiful. A lot of people coming to town. It'll kick off their Summerfest celebration. So I think we ought to support it, and we've made plans to do so. And Steve, you or Randy want to explain our obligations?
Well, in summary, we are to provide all the manpower necessary to control all the intersections along Main Street during that period when the bicyclists are coming through. Not knowing exactly when that will happen, there's about a two-hour period that they ask us to be prepared to close the intersections at any point, at any time during that 2 hours, depending on how the race is progressing. We're going to provide that manpower with additional police officers who are not on duty anyway, some of our other employees from the Public Works Department and the Parks Department, and use the Youth Council. And we're also soliciting other volunteers through our social media. We have about, 40 to 50 points to control along Main Street. So I haven't counted up the cost of having our own employees who are on the job anyway, who will need to spend 2 to 3 hours on this. But for the additional police officers, we're probably looking at plus some additional barricades, close to $800 to $1,000 for that additional manpower and the barricades that we'll have to rent. And then we may be sweeping the streets. If UDOT doesn't do it, we may be sweeping it for another 800, did you say? Is Randy out there? Randy's gone. I think he said about $800 if we have to sweep Main Street, which they've asked us to do if needed. And to make sure that there's no other hazards on the road.
And normally, since that's a state road, the state pays for the sweeping of that, or do we sweep it when we sweep our other streets?
Well, normally I don't think we sweep Main Street or Parrish. But in this case, we have asked the question and waiting for the answer whether UDOT's going to sweep it, and if not, Randy's given me that cost estimate for us to do it.
And do you think the extra police costs would be able to be absorbed from the police budget?
Well, it's possible. I think we just let it ride and see by come the end of the year if we need to tap contingency. Sure. Then we amend the police budget at that time.
Well, Mayor, I'd make a motion that we authorize the use of city employees and some funds to support stage 3 of the Tour of Utah event.
Second.
Thank you. So we move to second that we go forward with this plan and authorize city employees and some expenditures to support stage 3 of the Tour of Utah. Any other concerns or questions?
Just one thing of note, I received something that talked about this, and it said it's a rolling closure. Maybe you address this a little bit, Steve, that any given intersection shouldn't be closed more than 5 to 10 minutes.
Depends on the gap.
Yeah, the gap between the front and the back.
Yeah, right. And according to Paul Child today, that if they're in between those two points, the first rider and the last rider, if there are sufficient gaps at certain intersections, they may let some vehicles come across. Those will probably be the intersections our police officers are controlling.
Yeah. So anyway, just
so if you or I were riding, there'd probably be a significant.
It'd be a three-hour delay.
Three-hour delay,
yeah, maybe longer.
These folks hopefully can stick together.
Alternate routes that day.
Yeah. So put that on your calendar, Wednesday, August 5th.
Between 1 and 3 p.m. on our Main Street.
In the afternoon, they'll be coming down Main Street. There'll be a lot of riders going really fast, and there may be helicopters flying overhead. This will be on Fox Sports. And
yeah, a lot of news coverage.
It's very exciting. It's quite a coup for Davis County to get this, and it's an exciting event.
Okay, we need to vote on that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks. Thank you. All right, that takes care of the absolutely critical things that we needed to authorize this evening. In terms of other things, Steve, you have some things on your agenda you want to cover?
Only one thing perhaps to mention is the RAP tax invitation. I think everything else I can cover in an email to all the council members. I've asked Lisa to hand out what she has written and to explain this requirement. The reason for mentioning it tonight is because we want to put this in the utility bill insert that goes out next week. This will be my last chance to make sure you're okay with us doing that. We actually don't even have to do this, but I'm assuming the council will want to put this information out there. If not, you can tell us that. Lisa, would you explain what this is for?
Yes. We are preparing. We have a calendar for the RAP tax, get it on the ballot this year. And as part of that, the city is obligated to create a voter information pamphlet that will be mailed out to every resident and mailing address in the city. And so persons are eligible to request to draft one of the arguments either for or against the RAP tax that'll go in that voter information pamphlet. There's nothing, as Steve mentioned, in state law that requires us to solicit people to draft those arguments, but we think it's good policy to do so if someone out there is interested in writing an argument for or against the RAP tax. And on the voter information pamphlet, I'm only given a little bit of language in the utility billing to talk about this, though, so that's the proposed paragraph on the front page of this handout, which is just a quick call the city recorder or check our website if you're at all interested in this, because it gets a little technical. And then on the website is the other three or four paragraphs that I'd like to put on our website that explains when these arguments are due or your request. Now, we also want to raise this because the city council members can also request that, or the mayor. I think the last time the RAP tax ran, the mayor drafted the argument in favor of the RAP tax. That's very common. So just wanted to bring that as a heads up. Get it on your calendar. There are some deadlines that you're going to have to meet. I think even if the mayor wants to do it, you need to submit your request to do so.
And now, it goes to you?
It actually, on the RAP tax...
I submit that to myself.
They have to be submitted to the city council by Monday, August 31st. So probably from a practical standpoint, give it to the city recorder or Steve or myself, and we'll email it out to the city council, make sure they get it by that deadline. Now, there's also another requirement under the Transparency Act that was adopted in 2014. We also have to put arguments for and against the RAP tax on the statewide voter information website. So this is in addition to the voter information pamphlet, which is a hard copy. This is electronic information that goes on a statewide website. Similar requirements, but not exactly the same. So people can also request to write arguments against the RAP tax to go on the statewide website, but the state law requires that the city council draft the argument in favor. And it doesn't further define city council, so my suggestion from a practical standpoint might be for the mayor to write that one as well and have the council approve or accept it, and we can make sure that you meet those deadlines as well. So this was mainly to let you know that we're going to put the information out to the public. I talked to Bountiful because they ran their RAP tax last year, and they said they actually didn't have anyone that wanted to write the argument against. Which would be, a nice situation. But we do want someone to draft the argument against so that you have both sides, and the Lieutenant Governor's office also recommends that. Even if no one does it, we need to try and find someone to write that. So hopefully we'll have some volunteers, and Marcia and I will work through the details with them because it gets a little complicated. But just want you to know, since it's going out in the newsletter, people ask you about it, you've been informed. And most likely the argument in favor will probably come from the mayor.
Lisa, the only thing that is standing out to me is that it probably would be a good idea in this abbreviated version if, when you stated, please contact the city recorder, Marcia Morrow, for more information, we put her phone number,
okay,
the office
sure
phone number there.
You will be talking about the RAP tax again on August 4th, because you'll be considering the resolution that officially places it on the ballot.
Yes, so we'll come up with the actual language of the ballot proposition, which is set by statute, and then have you adopt the resolution. It's not required till the end of August, but I'd like to get it in front of you just in case we need to do some revision. So, but hopefully that'll pass on the August 4th as well.
Great, and I'm happy to write that if we don't have any other volunteers. The scouts, for their instance, they may have noticed that at the city ballpark, right next to the ball diamond, there's a big open field of dirt that's been leveled out, and that there's room for two more ball fields, and we have a master plan to have some more pavilions down along the frontage road and expanded parking along there. If this RAP tax passes, we will have the funds sooner to put that in grass and expand our park. If it doesn't pass, it'll take longer.
A lot.
And currently this is in place. Anybody who comes to Centerville to shop pays this, and most of it right now goes to fund the debt service on the Performing Arts Center for Center Point Theater.
But that will change with the renewal.
We could use that for parks and for trails and other uses. Thank you for that update. You also note that you informed the council that we put off the decisions on the fire district until the August 4th meeting, which gives the county a chance to consider a little bit longer and also allows us to have the fire district fire agency attorney here when we have that discussion on whether to create a fire district or not. Other things that we'll want to discuss maybe in the next meeting is you each received the request from the elementary principals to start the Lunch with the Mayor program, similar to what Farmington does in a couple of other cities.
You forwarded us that email, but the attachment...
You didn't get the original one? It ended up in my junk email, so you may want to check your junk folder to see if the original is there from them, or I can re-forward that out to everyone.
Mine was just in my regular inbox.
But were you able to open the attachment?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wasn't, first of all. Anyway. Okay.
And I'll also next time have a report on, we've had a serious problem with deer in our community eating people's vegetables in their gardens. And so the police have been called in. They keep giving the deer tickets, and they ignore them. They chew them up. So we're bringing in the state is going to see if they have any suggestions on how to keep the deer out of people's flowers and gardens.
Don't hold your breath.
I'm not very optimistic, but these are the... If you run for city council, you better be prepared to answer what you're going to do about the deer problem in Centerville.
Mayor, I have one item on miscellaneous business. Councilman Higginson brought up at a previous meeting a question about the rec center and the city's use and maybe restarting up a Centerville citizen free day. And I did bring that up, and they said that they're happy to do that. And so if you want to follow... Do you want me to follow up on that? How do we choose what day to do it?
Will they let us choose, or we...
I think
they
so.
They probably have some days that are better than
so others. So really we just need to contact John there, and so I can get more information and come back again as far as if there's limited options on days.
I'd appreciate that if you would follow through on that, yeah.
Does the council have any suggestions or ideas about a time of year that they would want that to happen?
I would suggest that in the winter it might be.
Yeah, when people would rather swim indoors.
Maybe January when it's kind of a slow.
Yeah.
But that's the busiest time for the rec center because that's when everyone starts their New Year's goals again as well.
December 28th.
Okay. November, February.
Yeah, ask them what they think.
All right.
Yeah, maybe February when everyone has stopped working on those goals.
They'll show up that 1 month, and then it'll be free and clear again.
Okay, any other miscellaneous business or items that staff wants to bring up? If not, we'll put off everything else until we get the rest of the city council back together. So I would look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.
Aye.
Awesome. Thank you, Stephanie, for attending, even in a non-optimal state.
Thank you.